As was mentioned, I believe, in our pre-service, pre-prayer service, tomorrow is New Year's Eve. That means that, as Darren's already referred to the fact that today is the last Sunday that we have in the year 2018. And so, as we draw near to the close of the year, we see in our televisions and all kinds of media are reflecting back over the year as this year slowly, maybe faster than we would like, comes to an end. It's always good to pause and to look back over the past before pressing on into the future. We see this principle in the business world when large and small companies alike go through what is known as year-end and all of those good things that go along with that. At this time, you know, a line is drawn across the financial books and an audit is conducted. The income and the expenses are all balanced out, and that way one finds out what kind of year financially the company has had, whether financial gain or loss has been experienced. Large companies especially include what is known as an inventory, when all the stock items are accounted for and included in that year-end audit. This exercise is known by many different terms. Simply taking stock is an interesting term. By the way, this is a biblical principle. This year end, this inventory, this audit, this taking stock, yes, it's a biblical principle. In fact, in our reading this morning that Darren read for us, the Apostle Paul, I believe, is taking stock and conducting a personal audit. As we look at these verses together, this would be a great time for you and I to conduct a personal year-end audit on our personal spiritual lives, and indeed on the spiritual life of this church, Truth Community Church. Let's call on the Apostle Paul to help us take stock. I was thinking this morning as we made our way out of home, before we did, we had our vitamins. Do you take your vitamins in the morning? Vitamin C is great because it helps to ward off or helps us to fight the colds and flus. And so I thought this morning we'd look to three vitamin C's. Three vitamin C. The first one is found in verse 7 and verse 8, and it's simply calculation. Calculation. Paul starts off on the right foot in helping us with our audit. Paul knew, you see, that it was possible to calculate or to count by the world's standards and be thought a great success, and yet end up a complete spiritual failure. The Lord Jesus Christ also mentioned this principle when he said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Notice as Paul looks back into the past, he says in verse 7, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Of course, he mentioned previously in the opening verses of that chapter how that if anyone had anything to boast in, he certainly had more. And he laid out his human credentials before us. And he says, "All these I counted loss, that I might gain Christ." I believe here that Paul is remembering back to when he first received the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart and life. He said, "What a wonderful change came over me." The hymn writer picked up on that and he said, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart." Ah, yes, Paul says, I remember that day. I wonder, do you remember that day? Do I remember that day when Jesus Christ came into our hearts and lives and turned everything right side up? But Paul goes on, and he says in verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." In other words, Paul's saying this, I believe. The change that Christ wrought when he came into my heart way back there on the Damascus Road is still happening today. We're living in days, I don't have to remind you, that when everything seems to be changing. Things are counted acceptable today that would never have been a few years ago. It's so easy to get caught up in the world's ways, to allow, as Philip says Romans chapter 12, letting the world squeeze us into its mold. Paul is reminding us here, I believe, that God's standards never change. He says, they were good enough for me back then on Damascus Road, and they're still good enough for me today. We need to hear that today. We need to be reminded of that. There's so much happening to impact us as Christians. Things are being legalized. How do we handle it? How do we deal with it? Does that mean that God has changed? Not one bit. God's word is eternal. It never changes. Heaven and earth shall pass away, says Jesus, but my word will never pass away. Jesus Christ, says the writer of Hebrews, which we will be getting into one of these days again. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. So first of all, the first vitamin C that Paul gives us is that of calculation. He says, be sure when we're calculating, we're using the right standards and not being influenced by our world. Second vitamin C is found in verses 9 to 12, and is simply this comparison. I thought this was very interesting, comparison. I remember being taught from very young in the Christian faith that it's not good to compare. And you know, that's true to a degree. Because Paul is comparing himself. And so he encourages us in the whole area of comparison. Again, it's so easy to get caught into the comparison games of the day in which we live. When we compare ourselves with others, we're using the wrong standards. Paul's comparison here and anywhere else in his writings was never that of comparing himself with others, but rather with Christ. In verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, which he had talked about earlier, being raised Hebrew of the Hebrews, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. As we read through the apostle's writings here and in other of his epistles, Paul was never satisfied with his knowledge of Christ. Always craving more. Always craving more fellowship with him and more knowledge of him. In verse 10, he says, that I may know him. Now we say, that you might know him? What do you mean, Paul? Well, Paul knew Christ, but he needed to know more. He was never satisfied, wanted more. That I may know him more and more. Could I be so bold as to throw in a little question, personal question? Can you relate to that? Can I relate to that? Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, are we satisfied? Are we sitting back on our laurels, as it were? Are we freewheeling? Or do we desire more? Are we into the Word continually, seeking more? Paul was always comparing, not in an unhealthy way as we see in the world, but always using Christ as his standard of measure. In verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of. In other words, Paul says, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm still comparing. I'm still following after. I'm still pressing on. Do you notice the wording of Paul? Pressing on, following after. This was Paul's life's aim. He says, I keep on keeping on. We hear a lot today in churches and even in businesses about mission statements, especially coming into the new year, vision statements. If you want a life purpose statement or vision statement, here's a good one. I follow after. I press on. I keep on keeping on. I remember some time ago sitting in Springfield Baptist Church, and Pastor John Twynham was preaching, and he got a little emotional, and he shared with us that he had met a young person that he knew years ago that came through his Bible club in the school, and in talking with them, they said, Pastor, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you for your willingness to take time to not only teach and preach the Word, but take time for us in directing our lives, in living lives that will reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, I don't have to remind you this morning, what this world needs more than ever is to see Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to see Jesus Christ is through you and through me. I wonder what version they're seeing when they look at me. A perversion? Or is it the truth? Is it Jesus Christ radiating, reflecting through my life in the simple ways of life? I follow after, says Paul. I press on. I keep on keeping on. Two vitamin C's, calculation, comparison. The third of those vitamin C's is found in verse 13 to 21. And it's simply this, consideration. Or contemplation. Now watch how Paul in these verses brings us to reality. You see, all this talk about comparison, especially with the Lord Jesus Christ, could bring discouragement when we continually find ourselves falling and failing so miserably short of the Lord. So Paul focuses on consideration. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended or taken hold of. I haven't arrived, in other words. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal or the mark for the prize of the upward or heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. What's Paul talking about when he mentions the high or upward or heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus? In verse 20, Paul says, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait and look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change or transform our vile or lowly body that it may be like or conformed to His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Wow. This is what kept the Apostle Paul going. This consideration of the future hope we sang about it this morning, that we have in Christ, that there's to be found in Christ. Paul, in writing to Titus, he said this, chapter 2, Titus, and verses 11 to 14. These were great Awana verses. I remember having Awana in different of our churches, and we memorized Scripture, and it was great. And here were some of those memory verses. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Listen to it. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works. That's what keeps us going. What kept the Apostle Paul going? Looking unto Jesus, he says, the author and finisher of our faith. As I rethought through these verses, I thought, in very simple terms, what is Paul saying? I believe he's saying this. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Remember old Gaither one? I'm still a work in progress. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet, nor with you. Keep looking up. Keep on keeping on. Someone said, when the outlook gets black, try the uplook. Calculation, comparison, consideration, three vitamin C's, well worth taking account of. How are we doing personally or as a church? As we take stock, as we look back over the year that is coming to a close, as we anticipate the new year, how are we doing? Let's learn from the Apostle Paul. Let's leave this old year and enter into the new year with great excitement and anticipation of what God is going to do in our lives personally, in our church, in our community, in our nation, in our world. God is the God of the impossible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. I wonder, as we come to the close of a year, as we look out of the portals of the doorway into the new year, the year to come, we don't know what will happen. We don't know what's ahead. But we know who's guiding and directing. And by faith, we can enter this new year with anticipation, with confidence, knowing that He who began that good work will continue and will complete it in Christ. As we look at our taking stock, our year end, our audit spiritually wise, I wonder, where do you stand in light of this? Where do you stand in light of the three vitamin C's this morning? Do you know Him, whom to know is life eternal? Can you look back like the Apostle Paul and say, ah, yes, I remember well that day on the Damascus Road, that light that shone brighter than the noonday sun, that voice that I heard, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Can you look back on that day and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for turning my world right side up. You say, but we live in a world that, yeah, we live in a broken world. But God's in control. And when God turns us individually right side up, it will affect our community. It will affect our workplace. It will start in our homes. And it will grow as the Lord is reflected in our lives. How do you compare this morning when looking to Christ? I would love to be able to stand here this morning and say, as a pastor, wow. You know? I need him more and more. I need continually to go to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for doing what I shouldn't have done. Forgive me for not doing what I should have done. Lord, forgive me, cleanse me through your precious blood. Fill me afresh with your Spirit. And use me this day, use me this coming year as an instrument in your hand. Oh, that I might know you more. And then our third vitamin C, consideration. Do you have that confidence that the Lord is coming? And he is coming, by the way. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Are you looking forward to his coming? Do you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to thank you that no matter what happens throughout this day, should I be instantly caught into your presence, I would be received with joy because of what Christ has done for me on Calvary's cross. Because of the application of that work in my heart and life, as I personally, by faith, have come and confessed and received forgiveness and received Jesus Christ into my heart and life. And based upon that act of faith, I'm a child of God, says the Word of God. As many as receive him, to them gave he the right, the authority, the power to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Based on that simple act of faith, I can look forward to a wonderful future when Christ will come, when Christ will call, when we will be with him and like him for all eternity. How's your stock taking this morning? If God has spoken to you this morning and you would like to talk to someone about this Jesus Christ, I would be more than pleased to do just that. There are others here that would be glad to talk with you. Don't leave this morning without having complete, absolute assurance in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this year. As we look back, we can see as individuals, as families, as a church, we can see your hand of blessing. Yes, there are many things that we don't understand, but we thank you by faith. We can look to you knowing that you not only understand all these things, but you're working all of these things together for what is best for each and every one of us. Father, I pray this morning if there's one in this service who does not have that confidence, that assurance of knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, I pray that you will do that work. You're the only one that can draw them to yourself. For those of us who do know and love you, I pray that you will continue to strengthen and encourage us in the Lord, that we might have effective testimonies and lives that will reflect you in every facet of life. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.